It's July the 1st, and we are now in Sanhedrin, in Chelek, on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. And I'm sorry, Kuf Amud Beis. Kuf Amud Beis. And we're at the Tudat, Rabbi Akiva Omer Af HaKor B'Sfarim HaChitzonim. So Rabbi Akiva lists another category for that which a person loses a chelek in Olam Haba, is someone who reads B'Sfarim HaChitzonim. So it's not clear what that is. And the Gemara says, Tana B'Sfarim Tzedukim. That means the Sfarim of Tzedukim. Rashi defines Tzedukim, even though we know Tzedukim are those who have rejected Tarsha Baal Peh, but Rashi says over here, Shekoifren B'Kel Chai, they deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Sfarim that reject the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rav Yosef Amar B'Sefer Ben Sira Nami Asur L'Mikri. So he says you also can't read from Sefer Ben Sira. Now why can't you read from Sefer Ben Sira? Rashi says Sheyesh B'Divrei Havoi, because there are things in it that are senseless, that have no meaning. Uba Aleim Lidei Bittul Taira, and a person comes from them to Bittul Taira. Now, Rav Yosef doesn't say that one loses his chelek in Olam Haba for reading in Sefer Ben Sira. He just says it's also usur to read Sefer Ben Sira. And the reason is because it brings to Bittul Torah, since there's a lot of Divrei Havai in it. Now, the Gemara then goes through a lengthy discussion about what is wrong with Sefer Ben Sira. Abaye lists a whole bunch of quotes from Sefer Ben Sira, which he says are consistent with Torah and with Chazal. Clearly, Abaye knew what was in Sefer Ben Sira, which means he must have read it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not allowed to read it, Abaye is not just asking why it's the problem. Apparently Abaye has read it because he was familiar with the statements from Ben Sira, and you know, a bunch of statements over here from Sefer Ben Sira, which the Gemara equates with various psukim or various chazalim.
I guess that proves you can't answer something until you read it.
Is it? Well, we'll see. So the Gemara then comes out that the reason what's in Ben Sira that is a problem is the Gemara says Elamishum Bechsiv Zaldokan Kortman, that someone whose beard is, Rashi says, is thin and weak, so he is Kortman. You should know that he's a Chacham Becharef Hu B'Yoser. He's very smart, very sharp. Avdakan, if he's got a thick beard, then Sachsan, he's a fool. Denafach B'Kaseh, someone who blows on his cup, Lo Tzachi, he's not thirsty. Amr b'mayichu lachma, if he says, with what should I eat this bread? What should I put in this bread? What kind of spread should I put in the bread? Lachma sav me, they take away his bread because he's not hungry. Man de isle ma'avarta b'dikni, someone who has a ma'avarta in his beard. Rashi has a few pshat on what that means, but his first pshat is that his beard is split in half. So then, what's that?
The same picture of blaze of silver.
So then, no one can get to him. He's very crafty, and no one can match him. That's Rashi's first pshat, because he's constantly pulling at his beard. He's obviously a very crafty person. Another pshat is, Rashi says, someone who has a simen in his beard, he obviously has eaten well, then those who have not eaten well can't keep up with him. And a third pshat is someone who has a baldness in his beard, and he doesn't say what then you can't keep up with him, whatever that is. And Rashi says, V'chol hani devei ruach, all these things are words of ruach, which means that there's nothing to them. L'kach ein karmo, that's why you don't read it. So that's beautiful, except that now that Abaye has quoted in Tarsh Baal Peh, that those statements in Ben Sira that are Divrei Ruach and therefore senseless, and that's why you can't read Divrei Ben Sira, now every single person in this room has a chiyuv to know this by heart, because it's Tarsh Baal Peh.
things that we shouldn't be bothered with.
Right. The things you're not supposed to read, because it's Divrei Havai, Divrei Ruach, it brings Lidei Bittul Taira, is now Taira. So that it becomes that extremely ironic. Amr of Yosef.
Could the Rav just a little back on who is Ben Sira?
No, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Somebody who in the Gemara. I don't know. So, Amr of Yosef, Mili Mal Yasa de Isbe Darshin and Lahu. But those things that are in Ben Sira that are good, those we do Darshin. So, it's not blacklisted. Rashi says, Klimar Amrinam Luhu Bepirka. You can say it in Shir. Umashmina Luhu Lukuli Alma, and you can tell them to the world. You want to read it out loud?
That Ben Sira was called the art scroll. Ben Sira was a writer who flourished in Beis Hamikdash times, and legend suggests was a son of the prophet Yirmiyahu. The book of Ben Sira, collection of Proverbs, is one of the books of the Apocrypha.
Okay. So Rav Yosef says that even though you can't read it, and he was the one who said, Rav Yosef is the one who said, "B'tefem Ben Sira nami asa lemikri." He himself qualifies what he said and says, you can darshan the good things that are in the Gemara, proceeds to list a whole bunch of good things that are in Sefer Ben Sira that are worthwhile to learn and know. A bunch of good advice, interesting points, etc. Now, so then, as I said, it seems just strange that the Gemara, clearly the Amoraim were familiar with the words of Ben Sira, and the Gemara itself now lists that part of Ben Sira which is Divrei Havai. So we now have the Gemara is clearly differentiating between Sifrei Tzedukim, which is Svarim HaKitzayim, for which one loses his Chelek in Olam Haba, and Sefer Ben Sira, which is Asur LeMikri, but the good parts are Mutter. So you see, therefore, that there is a difference. Remember we said in our last shiur that these things that we're saying over here, Ein lo chelek olam haba, do not necessarily mean that one person does it one time, loses his chelek olam haba. It seems to be that a person who is involved in these things becomes starts to act in a way that causes him to lose his chelek olam haba. We said it last time when it came to things that caused kfira, that the person would lose their chelek in olam haba, but we said from the Rambam that meant that if a person, not from the Magen Mishnah, excuse me, that if a person was very involved in them, then he loses his chelek in olam haba because he becomes not bikurish. He becomes someone who rejects the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Seems to me from the Gemara here that the Gemara is presenting a similar thing. Sivrei Tzedukim, which is those who are kaifer b'kel chai. So if one reads them, it loses his chelek in olam haba. I would venture to say that it does not mean reading it one time, but it means one who reads it enough times to become familiar with the material, they lose their chelek in olam haba. Because it brings to kfira. It brings to a person being kaifer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Sefer Ben Sira, reading it through one time is for sure mutter. It's for sure mutter. There's nothing wrong with reading it through one time. It doesn't bring to kfira and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't bring to losing one's chelek in olam haba. Rashi says, why can you not read Sefer Ben Sira? Why is it aser? Sheesh bo divrei havai uba leim lidei bittul taira. Brings the person to bittul taira. Person reads through Sefer Ben Sira, he comes to bittul taira. And bittul taira is aser. The person doesn't lose their chelek in olam haba for bittul taira, but it's aser to be involved in bittul taira. So Sefer Ben Sira, one who gets involved in it, will become, because of divrei havai, will come to bittul taira. So was it wrong?
In itself is not.
The Divrei Havai is. The Divrei Havai, well, when you're reading something senseless, then you're not growing, you're not doing anything constructive, that's the Kutara. Person who's involved in nothing, in something which is absolutely not constructive, and there's no purpose in his doing it, that's the Kutara. Now, so it's not a kasha that had a Havai, you know what it says in Sefer Ben Sira. That's not wrong. Because anybody can read Sefer Ben Sira. It's not us to read it one time. And even the part that we quote here in the Gemara to show why it's Divrei Havai, I would venture to say, I'm assuming, this is not all of the Divrei Havai that there is in Sefer Ben Sira, that this is an example of things that it says in Sefer Ben Sira that are Divrei Havai, Divrei Ruach, and therefore they lead to Bittul Torah. Now, what about reading contemporary things? How do we deal with the different categories here in the Gemara? One is not allowed to read things that are kaifer bekel chai, that which is written as divrei kfira. One is not allowed to read them. One can lose their chelak in olam haba because, as I said, it brings to kfira. Now, does that mean it's us or even one time to read divrei kfira? It's not a good idea to read divrei kfira. Does one lose their chelak in olam haba? I would assume not. I would assume it's similar to what we said before, that it brings to one losing their chelak in olam haba. Since it brings to that, one shouldn't do it.
So you're in a hotel on a vacation, you get your local Gideon Bible and right. Say, can you slip through that? I'm serious. Is that an isser?
I think it's recommended not to. I don't think one loses a chelak in olam haba to read in one time.
Right.
But I would think it's recommended not to because it brings to kfira.
What about the portion of Tanakh?
There's a faulty translation A and B. It's written by kfira. It's written by people who reject her. So it's not. I mean, Lamaisa, you're allowed to destroy it. You're allowed to throw it out. There's no din of Seamus on it. It's all.
By a min.
Right. So if there's a min, is Yisar if you burn it. Right. Now, let's give a contemporary example of this, where you have. Something which is not recommended to read, even though you're not doing it for kfira purposes. The marriage counselors and therapists strongly recommend a book called The Five Love Languages, which many of you may have read, and it's actually the ideas in it are wonderful. And anybody who deals with marriage counseling knows that there's a lot of merit in it. The person who wrote it, his name is Chapman, is a devout Christian and sprinkles the book with a lot of references to Yashka and to Christianity in general. So I read it through once, and then there was a push to kind of publicize it, get a lot of people to read it because it's got a lot of good ideas in it. So I wrote my Rebbe about it, Rav Tzvi Berkowitz, because of these references to Yashka, and he wrote me back that one should not read it, that it is incorrect to suggest that people should read it because of the references to Yashka. It's not something that is something that it should be read. Now, does one lose a chelak in olam haba for reading it once? I don't believe so. That's not, but especially in this case where it's peripheral to the actual subject matter. But Lamaisa, the person reading it, the person writing it, wrote in it his shtusim v'havolim about Yashka, and one is not allowed to read those things, and one should not read them even one time.
Right,
so they put out Rabbi Pollack got him to put out an edition that without those references. So that'll be fine. So it's something which I don't think that we're so sensitive to. We don't come across it that often because we don't live in an era of people being so devoutly religious. But Lamaisa, one should be careful. I was just driving back from Silver Spring this past Sunday, and I was driving with my five youngest children, and I had a book tape on. So we were listening to Farmer Boy, which is one of the Little House on the Prairie series. I find that whole series very interesting. There are a lot of things that we don't do today because we live in a modern day and age. But a lot of the things you can hear how things were done and made, etc. So we got to the it was very interesting in our eyes, but they were devoutly religious. But the book doesn't have anything about it until you get to one of the last chapters, which is about Kratzmach. The title of the chapter is Kratzmach. So I skipped that chapter. I skipped the chapter because I don't think it's appropriate to listen to or read a discussion about how they celebrated Kratzmach. Because it's presented not in a commercial way like it is today, it's presented in a religious way, because they were very religious. So I don't think it's appropriate because of this to listen to or read an account of how they celebrated Kratzmach. Is it usher to listen to it or read it one time? I don't believe so, but I don't think it's appropriate to do. And that I think fits into the category over here. Now, Sefer Ben Sira, on the other hand, is much more practical for us, because one is not allowed to read Divrei Havai. Now, a lot of the things that we read are Divrei Havai. If you're reading something that is scientific or that is instructive, so that's not Divrei Havai. But if you read something which is just for fun, a novel or a joke book or things of that nature, or for that matter, if you watch something which is just for fun, forget the problems of what movies and TV have in terms of what we're not supposed to look at, and with language and profanity and immorality, etc., and violence. And forget that whole issue. But it is usur for a yid, especially for a man who has to learn Torah. It's usur to waste time and just do something just because it's fun. Now, does that mean we're not allowed to entertain ourselves? Of course we're allowed to entertain ourselves. But the entertainment has to have a purpose. The entertainment is because we need the break, because we need to relax, because we're doing something with our family, so we need to connect with our family. These are all good, these are all proper reasons to be doing something. But my point is that there has to be a cheshbon. It's not permitted on a Shabbos afternoon if I'm not tired and my mind is sharp, I don't need the break, and it's just a Shabbos afternoon, so I'm sitting around my house, so to pick up my children's Calvin and Hobbes and read it through, or to pick up a Chumash, it's Bittul Torah to pick up the Calvin and Hobbes. It's not just not being constructive. It is Bittul Torah, and one is not allowed to do that. So one has to be careful. I'm not saying that it's usur to any time to entertain oneself. It is mutter, and especially the younger we are, the more we need it. As we get older, so I would hope that as we're getting older, we're thinking more and more about how life is short and how much time do we have already in this world. And so one has to be careful. But that's not even the big issue, because that already, you know, how often do we do that? I mean, I imagine most of us are very busy people, and whenever we do have a chance to kick back and relax, we tuck and need the relaxation. So that that's not such a big deal. But the real big deal is computer games, which are addictive and can take up a lot of time, and it's just a person who's into it, it just keeps going and going and going. And there can be a makom for it. Just like anything else, there could be a time to relax, a time I need to, my mind is, I'm just all high strung, and I've had a tough day, and I need to, that's mutter. But to become involved in it, and to spend much, much time on it, one has to be careful, because it's no less than reading than Sefer Ben Sira, which has Divrei Havai in it, which brings the Bittul Torah. I mean, so it's something which we have to have in our minds as responsible men of Klal Yisrael who are Chayav Learn Torah. We have to have that in mind. A board game at least has the maila of at least connecting with family, connecting with friends. It's a social way of making connection. There's elements of shalom bayis, elements of kirov mishpacha. There's one can justify that a lot more easily than sitting cloistered in front of one's computer by himself playing games. So it's something to bear in mind. Again, I don't mean to say that there's never a place. I just mean to say that it takes away the fun a little bit. But we have to have a cheshbon. We have to have a cheshbon. It's not something to just it's okay, because there's nothing, since there's no images that are immoral or profane. Therefore, it's okay. It's true. It's much better than when there are images that are no good. But still, one has to have in mind. One has to keep in mind their chiyuv to learn Torah.
Well, there is on the market sefer echitzayim. Like the Sefer Maccabim and the Sefer, all these apocrypha, I think they call them in English, right? It could be Ben Sira as part of it.
That's not Sefer Chitzanim.
Right.
Sefer Chitzanim is Divrei Tzedukim.
Right. So how do we treat those?
So, again, I think it fits into what we're saying over here, that one is allowed to read them and get the whatever is valuable in them. But to become involved in them, we're so beyond that. Because the notion of sitting down with a novel is so simple for us. There are frum novels out there, right? People put out novels. They do it all the time. There's a huge a huge industry of kosher novels. But you have to justify reading a novel, right? So the whole, I'm not saying it's us ever to read a novel. I'm just saying it has to be a cheshbon. There has to be a cheshbon involved. So, you know, the same thing goes for reading Hamodia and reading all these things. It's not learning Torah. So, again, it's not that there's no place for it, but it's got to be done with a cheshbon. And that's true for all these things. Sefer Makamim is so short. And it's not the kind of thing which you're going to sit there reading it over and over again and getting into. You know, in the day when going to a speech was entertainment, that was entertainment. There was no other form of entertainment. The reason why it was in over 100 years ago, speeches regularly lasted 3, 4, 5 hours because that was entertainment. People weren't itching to leave; they loved it. It was wonderful. They could listen to an entertaining speaker for 4 hours. That was entertainment. It was going to a movie. But they didn't have anything else. So, you know, but for us, we have such sophisticated entertainment today that, you know, those things you're describing are not going to draw anybody. Not today. I mean, I don't think so. Highly unlikely. So, yeah.
History, what is that?
Depends on the kind of history, right? Again, if it's something which is instructive, so I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's you know, a person can, it's still not Torah, but at least it's you're doing something constructive, which I don't think I don't think it has no value. I don't think it has no value. When we moved in to our house 3 years ago, it came with Winston Churchill's The Second World War. It's a 6-volume set.
You done yet?
So it took me about a year and a half, but I'm crazy with these things. I read the mamash cover to cover. I start with the copyright, and I end with the index at the end. So you know, but again, you got to be careful with a cheshbon, you know. But that is a little bit better because it's there. At least there is some value to it. It's at least instructive. It's not stam. You know, I did find some very interesting, you know, it's his take on it. So interesting, some interesting points. But you know, one has to have a cheshbon. Unfortunately, history is notorious for being revisionist and manipulated, etc. So you've got to be very careful with that anyway, because you're only getting the historian's perspective. You're not getting facts. You're getting someone's idea of history.
No. The one who won the war's idea.
Yeah, well, okay, that's for sure true. That's for sure true. Okay, so now, interestingly, the Gemara then moves into, at the top of Kuf Aleph, Tanu Rabbanan Akarib, it's Pasuk Shal Shir HaShirim, Vayito Yisoy Kimin Zemer, Vayakor Pasuk Vayisat Mishtos, Belo Zmanoi, Mevi Yirah Lo'olam. So the Gemara, once it moved into, it's talking about reading things you're not supposed to read. So it starts off at that which can cause a person to lose their chelik and olam haba. That's agaret. Then it moves into the Sefer Ben Sir, which is dealing with the Vahal Bittul Torah. Then the Gemara moves into reading Torah, but incorrectly, at an incorrect time or incorrect place, and that's also aser. So this Gemara is all about reading things one's not supposed to read. So that's, we'll discuss that momentarily. Before we do that, I do want to comment on one or two of the things that are constructive in Sefer Ben Sira, the Gemara here makes a statement that it says in Sefer Ben Sira, back on Kufan Beis, it says, well, a few things. First of all, the Gemara says in the first quote from Sefer Ben Sira, it's about skinning a fish from its ear. A person shouldn't do that, etc. So the Gemara says, what is that teaching us? So the Pashup Shad is, it's teaching us not to waste. Bal Tashkas. The Gemara says that's a Torah ideal. That's not a problem. Then the Gemara says, and what's the drush of it? Urach ara kamash malam is telling us derech eretz, though live shalai kedarka, not to be bayal shalikadarka. Now, so it seems from the Gemara, therefore, that bia shalikadarka is permitted, but it is not derech eretz livol shalikadarka. So it's worthwhile to mention over here, this is not the sugi. The sugi is really in Yavamis and other places, but bia shalikadarka is a machlokes harishonim, what the halacha is with bia shalikadarka. Some rishonim are of the opinion that it is usur to do regularly, but it is mutter to do intermittently. The other rishonim hold that it is always usur if the man is mazriya. If the man is not mazriya, then it's mutter. But if the man is not mazriya, if the man is going to be mazriya, it's usur even once. There is a shita that holds, Tosfos brings this, that the Avera of Er V'Oinon in Parshas Vayeshev, where the Pasuk says, V'haya im bo'eleshes achiv v'shicheis artza, that he would be mashchis his zera, he would waste his zera, artza, towards the ground, that it actually means that he was bo'el shaloi kedarka. That's what it means. So, it's a shita in the Gemara itself. So, So those who hold it's usher always, it's never mutter to be bashal akadarka if he's mazriya. So this is a raya. For those who hold that it's mutter intermittently, it's just usher to do it regularly, they learned that Aaron Oinan did it regularly because they didn't want her to become uberes, so they did it regularly. So we pass in Lamais and Shulchan Aruch that it is usher even once, meaning to be mazriya. It is mutter to be boil shalai kedarka if it is without being mazriya, but being mazriya even once is usur. That's what we pass. We pass because we hold that it is called it's called wasting one zera. So now, so this Gemara that says it's lav urach ara, it's not derech eretz. So what does the Gemara mean? So if you learn like those Rishonim who don't paskin, like if you learn that it is mutter intermittently, then the Gemara is saying it's not derech eretz to do it even intermittently, even though it's mutter technically, but it's not derech eretz, meaning because since since one's wife does not get any hana out of it, therefore it's not a nice thing to do. It's not derech eretz. That's how they will learn. Those who learn that it is always aser to be bo'el shalai kedarka if he's mazriya, they're going to learn this means being bo'el without being mazriya. That's what they're going to learn, because that's also called a bia. Remember, all the isuri bia, all the arayas, etc., have nothing to do with being mazriya. As soon as one does ha'ara, one is machnes even a little bit, then one is iver. One gets the aver. If there's karis, he gets karis. If there's misa, misas bezdin, he gets misas bezdin. You know, there's no need for being mazriya. It's already called a bia with just a little bit of penetration. So here, they'll learn that when it says it's not urachara, it means in a situation where he wasn't mazriya, which is mutter, but it's not derecharetz. Because lamaisa, it's not something that the isha gets hana out of, and therefore it's not appropriate to do. That's the way they'll learn it. There is a Gemara in Nedarim that a woman came to one of the Amoraim, I believe, and complained that her husband, the way it says it is, it says, of course, in a Lashon Nekiya, it says, I set a table for my husband, and he turned it over. So it's Lashon Nekiya. She's talking about Bia over there, Tashmish. So those Rishonim who learn that it's mutter, and the Amira said to her that it's his prerogative, that a wife is mutter to her husband, and he's allowed to have hana with her the way he wants to. So the way that, so those who learn that it's mutter intermittently learn that Gemara is talking about Birshul Kedarka, that's what he did. And it's mutter intermittently. Those who learn that it's usur even intermittently, and that's how we paskin, they learn that Gemara means that he was boil me'achureha. It was kedarka, but it was me'achureha, which the Gemara calls derech behema. So that's what he was saying, that lamaisa, it's even though it's derech behema, but it's a mutter. Well, again, we say in that the Shulchan Aruch says it's not recommended to do that, but lamaisa, it's not an isser. Now, the next thing in Sefer Ben Sira, which is that the Gemara says that it says in Sefer Ben Sira, Bas Aviha Matmines Shav, that a daughter to her father is a false treasure. Nipachta lo yisham b'layla, because of fear from her, he can't sleep at night. Bikat nusa, when she's young, shematispata, maybe she'll be enticed. Binarusa, when she's a nara, shematizana, maybe she'll have duznus. Bagra, if she's already older, shematinata, maybe she won't get married. Nisis, when she gets married, shemalo yilo bada, maybe she won't have children. Hizkina, she gets older, shematasik shafa, maybe she'll do witchcraft. So it's having a daughter is difficult on a father. You think it's a treasure, it's not a treasure. So the Gemara says, but that's not inconsistent with Chazal. Harabban Nami Amru, the Rabban also say this. It's impossible for the world without males and females. Asher Misha Banav Zacharim, fortunate is the one whose children are male. Oyla Misha Banav Nekevus, woe to the person whose children are females. That's the Gemara. Now, if you go through Chazal, you will find frequently that it is clearly preferential to have boys and not girls. It's clearly that way. The Gemara says you should always be mispalel that you have sons rather than daughters. It's you find it all over the place in Chazal. So it should be noted that I discussed this at length with my Rebbe with Tzvi Berkowitz. And the truth is that subsequently I saw it in Rav Moshe, in one of his tshuvas, that the proper Torah hashkafa is that a man is not inherently better than a woman. Men and women are inherently equal in their value, in their inherent value to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are equal. There are advantages to being male and to having male children. Those advantages are, Olam Hazeh type advantages. That's what the Gemara is describing over here. If one has a daughter, you'll worry. You worry more about your daughters than you do about your sons. That's the point that Gemara is making. And there's no question that even in our liberated time, there is more advantage to being male. You will have more opportunity, even in the United States, but certainly in the rest of the world, if you are male versus female. And so there are clear Olam Hazeh advantages to being male over female, which is natural because males are stronger and taller and generally have more power. So there's, in Olam Hazeh, that's going to be that way. But that's not to suggest that inherently there's less value in being a woman rather than being a man. I asked him about the bracha of Shlo Yasani Isha, because the bracha of Shlo Yasani Isha, you can't interpret any other way. The bracha of Shlo Yasani Isha is saying, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for not making me a female, for making me a male. That's what you're saying. Which means, I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the advantage of not being a female. You can't explain that bracha any other way. Any apologetic way of explaining that bracha is not consistent with the bracha. There are those who want to suggest, I'm not saying, when I say those, I do not mean anybody reputable. There are those who are apologetic and want to suggest that, well, it's a man has more mitzvahs, but that's because men have more to correct. So they're further from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why they have more mitzvahs. Women have less to correct, they have less shlemus to reach for, they're closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's, of course, utterly ridiculous. Then why are you making a bracha that you don't want to be a woman? Fakir, you'd rather be a woman because you're closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is it better to be a man then? The bracha is saying it's better to be a man. That's what the bracha is saying. So I asked my Rebbe about this. So my Rebbe said that it is better to be a man in the aspect of mitzvahs, because that's what it's talking about over there. Shlo Yasani Gai, because Gaiim only have seven mitzvahs. Shlo Yasani Aved, because they have fewer mitzvahs. Shlo Yasani Isha, they have fewer mitzvahs. I'd rather be a man who has more mitzvahs. In regard to mitzvahs, I am thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the opportunity of being a man, not being a woman, not being an Eved, not being a Gai. And in that regard, Taka, it is better to be a man. Does that mean that there aren't other ways that it's better to be a woman? No, there are other ways that it's better to be a woman. A woman also has advantages. A woman can bear a child. A man can't bear a child. That has an advantage to it. That woman, the Nashim Tzidkaniyos, in Mitzrayim, it wasn't just that they were nuts, that the women were nuts and sitkanas. They were able to do what they did. The men couldn't do it. The women had the opportunity there to perpetuate Klal Yisrael. The men couldn't. That was something only the women could do. So there are situations where it's advantageous to be a woman. There are situations where it's advantageous to be a man. The bracha in the morning is focusing on that which is advantageous to be a man. That's what it's talking about over there. but Rav Moshe says it also, Beferish, that it is equal. It is not inherently better to be one or the other.
When it talks about a katana, we were a little bit taken back that it's a Shema Tispata more than Shema.
Shema Kamen Anusa.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the answer. I mean, you know, Pitoy was obviously an issue.
More so than Anusa.
Yeah. Clearly, it was more so than Anusa. I don't know that it's so untrue today. Not so sure. Okay, Akopana. I mean, you understand that legally today it's going to be called Anusa.
Right.
Right. Because it's true, because she was taken advantage of.
Right.
In the Torah, it differentiates between Pitoy and Inus. Not. It doesn't exonerate the person who did it. Either way, he's a Rasha for doing it. But there are different penalties in the Chumash. But I think that it's easier to be mefata than manas. Why be manas if you can be mefata? Why go through the difficulty of being manas if you can be mefata? So if she's young, she can become a futa. She's older, it's harder to be mefata. Now, on Kufalfa Manalos, the Gemara says that if one reads pasuk shal shir hashirim va'oisa oisa kamin zemer va'akar pasuk v'esam ishtos blozmano maybe ra'al lo oilam. Now, this is something which unfortunately in our dar has become a problem with the proliferation of what we call Jewish music and Jewish artists in music. The most common source for words for a niggun is the Torah. That's where they take it from. But the Gemara here says, "Akoy pasuk shashir Hashem va'oitzah sakimin zemer." The akoy pasuk v'esim ishtos blois manoi maybe ra lo oilam. They may be like something that the fools that they display. Rashi says, and then the Gemara goes on to say, let's read it through. The Gemara says, Amala biti bishosha eichlam shoysim bameis asku. Amala fana bron shalom, imbali mikra hini asku batayro, vinevim uksuvim, imbali mishna hini asku bimishna, belkos of agaros, imbali talman hain, yasku melkos pesam 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 pesam. Hey, Rav Shem ben Elazar, Mishum Rav Shemin ben Chananya, Kol HaKoyre Pasuk Bizmano. If you read a pasuk in its proper time, maybe Toiv Olam Shnemer Davar Beitoy Ma Toiv. So Rashi tells us what is the difference between reading a pasuk at the wrong time or the right time. So Rashi says, Hachi Asina Akar Shir Hashem Laisa Asakim Zemer Shakar Benigina Acheres. He reads it with a different tune, not which it's punctuated with. You make it like a song. Even though it is from Shir Hashim and it's supposed to be a Shir, also you're not allowed to make it into a Shir. You have to read it as it is meant to be read. He's reclining with his wine. It makes his jokes with the Torah, the Kara Psukim, the Kol Rom, the Sachik Bem, to play around with them, Bnei HaMishneh, Avalim Omro Bizmanoi Al HaMishneh, but if he does it in its time Al HaMishneh, what does that mean? Kagon Shu Yontif, the Night of Kais Biyada, he holds his Kais, Vaimar Al of Divre Hagada, U Psukim, Menyano Shu Yaim, maybe Tribal Oilam. So this is important. What goes on today with the various composers that they make songs out of Psukim, it's very hard to justify it. Very, very hard to justify it. It seems, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you look around, it seems that it is categorically usur.
Shir or any Psukim.
Any Psukim. The Psak in Shulchan Aruch is all Psukim, and not only that, certain parts of Tefillah also. Kaddish, you're not allowed to make a song out of, Mishmur says Beferish. There are others as well. It's not Pashut that they go and they make sukkim. There are certain bands that are careful with this. I noticed once I learned this halacha a few years ago. I mean, I had learned this many times. I just never thought about it like everybody else, because you think, well, it goes on, so of course it's okay. But then I a few years ago I saw this again, and it struck me, like, what's the heter? I wrote to my Rebbe, what's the heter? He said he doesn't know that. He told me he wants to ask his wife's grandfather Yaakov, come and ask his son Racha about it. And he said the only heter he said was if it brings you to being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is really the end of this Gemara. That's what we're saying over here. Like Rashi says, that if it's Yontif and you're at the table and you're talking about Dibbe HaZadah and Sukkim and you sing them, then it's Dabar B'Yitoy Ma'atoy. That's a good thing. It brings to Dibbe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I noticed then, I started listening to the various CDs that we have, the group Lev Tahar does not sing Psukim, as far as I could tell. They only sing Tfilos and Ma'amari Chazal, but not Psukim. They never sing Psukim.
Rashi, doesn't it seem that the only issue is you're changing...
That's the first Rashi, but not the second one. The Mesa, that's what you're talking about is Hakar Shir Hashem Va'isar Sokim in Zemer. But now Kare Pasuk Beveis HaMishtos blows Manoi, that's the Stam singing.
It's the base Mishtos.
Yeah, but Stam singing, there's no heter for. Stam, that's it's very hard to find a heter. Just Stam to sing without thinking about what the word means.
Why does the Gemara say the base Mishtos?
Because that was the common practice. What is the Gemara contrast it with? What is Rashi contrast it with? With Kare Shel Yayin at the table on Yontif. That's the contrast. It's very, look in Shulchan Aruch, you'll see that it's very difficult to be matur. It seems to be a blanket iser. It's really not pasha. It's really not pasha. So since then, since I noticed this and looked into it, I have been careful, bli neder, I've attempted to be careful not to stam sing psukim.
Does this say yontiv dafka because you're not supposed to sing other negunim on Shabbos?
No, I don't think he means that. I think stam because it's stam because of any yontiv, you know, I don't think.
Okay.
So it would be mutter, it seems, to at your Shabbos table, even though someone once tied it to me that the reason why we have nigunim on Shabbos, Shabbos mirrors. Why do we have Shabbos mirrors? Because of this problem of singing psukim. In order not to sing psukim, so they composed piyutim, which we call mirrors, and we sing those instead. Hagufa. But if a person is doing it to be davuk b'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and it's a special time, you want to sing Hallel at the table because it's a hush of a time to sing, that seems like it's okay, provided that you're thinking about the words and that's what your intent is. But stam to go around with iPods and singing these nigunim with psukim, it's really not pasha. It's really not pasha.
And so let's say Hallel singing in shul?
That's for sure okay.
Because?
That's for sure that repeats my matzai. There's none of it. You know, that's mutter. That would be mutter to sing Kaddish also, because it's during the time of saying Kaddish. You're not just stam saying it. That's for sure mutter. Yeah, we don't know what they sang. We don't know what they sang. And I've said this before, that it is so presumptuous when people today say, oh, like the Levin and Beis HaMikdash, they have no idea what they're talking about. Levin and Beis HaMikdash was a whole different madriga of singing. It was a singing that was infused with nevuah, and it was nothing compared to what we have today. There is nothing even remotely.
They did not have a Karbach by Smekta.
No,
but it was psukim. I mean, it was psukim.
Yeah, it was Shir Shal Yayin. Right. It was Shir Shal Yayin. Right. That was Dabar B'Yitoy Ma'atzos. Right. Okay, but something to think about that as well. Ignorance is bliss, but once you learn. Okay. Finally, we have the next Gemara about Alaykha Shalamaka, and here the Gemara goes through. Talking about lechisha and with rekika, the iser that one loses the chelak al haba is to spit and then say the shem Hashem. So what I want to do with the few minutes we have remaining is go through the halachas and simin kufayin tes in Yeridaya, because a lot of it is relevant to today. What is mutter? What is aser? And for those who didn't see it, the Maaseh with Rabbi Elazar at the bottom of the Amud here is extremely important to know what happened to Rabbi Elazar. Remember, Rabbi Elazar was in Cherem till the day he died. He died while in Cherem. So it's just important to know the Maaseh over here with the Arba Zekinim came to visit him. But Al Kopanim, I did see in the Taz an interesting thing. It used to be the minig was that you went, it was like this, that before you started Va'anachnu Karim in Aleinu, Va'anachnu Karim Shachem Vaidim, first you spit, and then you said Va'anachnu Karim Shachem Vaidim Himelach Lachem Lachem HaKadosh
Baruch Hu. Yeah.
Okay.
What's
that?
The Rabbitur did
it. Right. So they say that's mutter because they're clearly you're not doing it as a bizayon to the Shem Hashem. The reason why one loses the chelik and lahava is because the mivaz of the Shem Hashem. But that's clearly being done as a contrast between the Elric. I think I could be wrong about this, but it is my conjecture that that minhag developed when the censors took out the line Shem Yishtachem and Havel Arik. So in order as a zeichel dover that there's supposed to be a line there about Shem Yishtachem and Havel Arik, they spit to show there's a line there about Yashka, and then they went vaiter vanachu Shem Yishtachem vaiter.
Like Havel is like the breath, and Rik is like Reich is like a
interesting. Okay, I don't know. Okay, so now let me read to you the how it's passed in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kufayin Tes. I know you don't have it in front of you, the Machaber Paskins. Misha Nashkoi Akrav, someone who was bitten by a scorpion. Mutu Lilchoi Sha'alav, one is allowed to say a lachash, an incantation. Fafilu B'Shabbos. Vavli Sheina Dover Moyal Klom, even it doesn't help at all. Hal Umisukanhu, since it is a sakana, he tiru Kedeshul Titov Daitolav. Since the person who got bitten thinks that there's a value to it, you're allowed to do it. Mishum Sakana, you're allowed to do any of these lachishas. That's mutter. Mishum Sakana. Even if you know that it's valueless, but if the person thinks it's valuable, you can do it. That's mutter. It's a placebo, exactly. Okay? Misha Reif Machrav Nachash Vakrav, someone who's being chased by a snake or by a scorpion. Mutter Lechaver Kidesh Lo Yaziku. You're allowed to snake charm in order to keep it from hurting you. That you're allowed to do. So you're allowed to snake charm. That is mutter to do. Okay? Halacha Shalom Maka Ol Al Hachayla, someone who does a Lechisha, says one of these incantations on a wound or on a sickness. Viroikik, and then he spits. Then he says a pasuk from the Torah, because he's being mivaz of the Shem Hashem. If he doesn't spit, isura miha ika, it's still usur to do because you're saying a pasuk. So a lechisha is mutter, but a pasuk is usur. But if it's a sakana safasha, then it's mutter. So a lechisha is mutter, but a pasuk is usur. You're not allowed to. That's not losing one's chelik olam haba if he doesn't spit. But again, it's being mevaz of the Torah, taking the Torah and treating it like it's a medicine. You're not allowed to do that. The Rama says that some say it's only us if you say it in Lashon Kodesh, or Lashon Laz, if you say it in translation, light. But if you're going to spit, one should be careful no matter what. Certainly if he mentions Hashem's name. Okay. Test. Tinuk Shenifka, a child who gets hurt, and the Mepharshim say it means anybody, even an adult, ain karnel of pasuk, one is not allowed to say a pasuk. Ve'imanicha lov sefer Torah, you can't put a sefer Torah on him. Habari, someone who's healthy, mutter likrois psukim, v'hagen alav me'amazikin, is allowed to read psukim in order to protect from mazikin. It's only usur to say psukim for a sickness or for a wound. But if someone is healthy and he wants to protect himself with psukim, it's mutter. We all do this when?
For the dogs.
We all do it every single day.
Oh, but Kriyat Shema Lamita.
Kriyat Shema Lamita. That is what we're doing, Kriyat Shema Lamita. Every night of Kriyat Shema Lamita, we are saying psukim to be megin min amazikin. That's what we're doing. And that is mutter to do because it is protecting us when we're still healthy. It's not using the Torah as a medicine. It is mutter to say that because the Torah is megin. That is what the Torah does. The Torah does protect.
The same thing with play for dogs?
I guess so. Okay. Now.
With more Adina's tune.
What is that?
It does be with more Adina's tune to her.
Okay. Now, let me tell you some interesting cases over here.
That's a problem.
Mordina
does this
way. Let me read you how the Taz says it. That's what he needs, refuah. But the Torah lo nitan lerefuah haguf. Torah was not given for refuah haguf, el refuah hanefesh. That's why you're not allowed to do it. Masha'ein came bibari, but if he's healthy, she'ein tzarek ala hagein shlo yechala, then he doesn't want to get sick. Bizem mutter lahagin b'divrei Torah, umitam zeh karen kriyat shma'al mitasak lahagin alav b'layla. Then it's going to be okay. Because for sakanat fashas, it's all okay.
How's it tie in with using a kameya?
Yeah, so that a kameya is usually a lechisha. It's not psukim. Anyway, the Gemara in Shabbos says you're not allowed to put psukim in a kameya because it's as if you're destroying it, because if a fire would happen on Shabbos, you're not allowed to save it.
Okay.
So a lechisha is mutter. You're allowed to do a lechisha.
What about tehillim?
What's that?
Saying tehillim, I guess.
So tehillim is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're David. You're allowed to David. But you can't say psukim like kol amachala shasantim mitzrayim lo'asim alecha. That pasuk of that it's like a you know, like a magical thing. When we read this pasuk, we'll get better. Right. But you're allowed to David. Now listen to Imaisa from the Piskei Tshuva. Very, very interesting over here. Piskei Tshuva says, halacha shel amaka, someone who does a lechisha, incantation is mutter. B'tshuvas adoni avizikni panim iros, she'agavsim alam advav kasav, he writes, b'tinok shel hayachol lishan, there was a child who couldn't sleep. V'amru hanashim, the women said, she'esh refua, there is a refua for this. Doctor, you can take this into account. Lachtoich tziparne yadav v'raglav, they should cut his fingernails and toenails. Uktsas saroysav, and some of his hair. Felitain toch beya, put it into an egg. I assume it means an eggshell. Ulhaniach bi'ilan arava, and put it on an arava tree, and that way he'll be able to sleep. Mm-hmm. So the Panamira says, the Asar Lassas, can you not let him do that? Why? Because there is an Isra of Darki Ha'amari. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to do things that are Darki Ha'amari, because they are done, they are superstitious. So when are you allowed to do things? So the halacha is, anything which is al hachoy lamamish is mutter. In other words, if what you're doing is clearly
medical intervention.
What?
Medical intervention.
Yeah, even if it's not contemporary medicine, but it's clearly being done for the sickness, that's mutter.
Like the pigeon on the stomach?
Yeah, that kind of thing. But if it's something which is being done, you're doing this business with the fingernails and the toenails and then you're hanging on the tree over there, he's over there and you're doing this thing on the tree, that's usher. Because that no one can tell what one thing has anything to do with the other. So that's why that's Darkei Amorim, that's usher to do.
And Darkei Amorim means specifically because the Amorim did it, or anything that...
Anything that you know. Then you're not going to do something that has no precedent. You're going to do things that other people do. You know, they're not going to make it up.
In other words, maybe Eden made it up.
Yeah, okay.
That's still Darkei Amorim.
Yeah, I believe so. Now, another case, listen to this. Okay, when it's Sakana Safashas, then it's Mutter. So the Be'er Sheva writes, "Demutu lahaniach sefer Torah al isha hamakasha leled liyaled." You're allowed to put a sefer Torah on a woman who is in labor. The likros aleha psukim and to read psukim. Mishum shiyesh ba sakanas tafashis ayin sham. So since it's sakanas tafashis, you're allowed to do that. Now we saw before, even if you know it's not going to work, you're allowed to do it because she thinks it's going to work. So it's mutter al sakanas tafashis. That's why it's mutter. Va'ayin b'tshuva tchinuch beisihuda seven ayin al shekasav. They don't nachum zalva b'kavod a sefer Torah kol kach. This is going a little too far. It's one thing to say psukim. To take a sefer Torah and put it on her, that's a little bit too far. Anyway, I mean, okay. V'lo yaviu a sefer Torah el v'pesach cheder shel hayoledes. They should only bring the sefer Torah to the opening of the doorway of the woman giving birth. Sheschus ab Torah yagin alav. The schus ab Torah should protect her. V'lo yilinin segula, not as a segula, or refuah, refuah. You shouldn't do that. So he's saying that even for zakhanas tavar, it's going too far to be mizalva with the sefer Torah. You certainly shouldn't put it down with your hands, you know, to put it with your hands or to open it up, or put it in the hands of any woman, that you certainly should not do. That's already going too far. So it seems like even for Sakana Safashis, but the resolve of the Sefer Torah so much, that's already going too far. Now, you'll tell me that the doctors or the psychologists have determined that this woman believes that only the Sefer Torah is going to save her, and she's physically going to die unless you take that Sefer Torah and put it on top of her. It's mutter. I mean, that's not one of the Gimel Chamurais. You're allowed to be mezalz on a Sefer Torah to save someone's life. That's mutter. You know, the Eden in the, you know, it's for Sakanas Nefashis, it's mutter. But Lamaisa, what he's saying is,
explain to her that.
Yeah, try to avoid that. That's going a little too far. That's going a little too far. The Nazis, Yimach Shmam, would sometimes use Sifrei Torah in ways that would then cause Eden to have to be Mubaza, the Sifrei Torah. So it sounds from here that it is mutter, except that over there, where they're doing it bedafka to make him be over an avera, so then you get into issues of Yehareg Val Yavar, even for Akas and the Masana, if it's a Shas HaShmad, or if it's a Chil Hashem, because it's Barabim, so you get into other issues over there. But Stam, if a person, Lamashal, is, I don't know, Chves, is the only way to hide himself is to pile Sifrei Torah on top of himself so that the guy won't see him and kill him, and he hides himself, by burying himself under Sifrei Torah. So you're throwing Sifrei Torah on the floor, but it's mutter. You're allowed to, for Sakhana Safashis, it's mutter to be Mavazal Sifrei Torah. It's just that once you try to avoid it if possible. Okay, so Bli Neder, next time we're going to start from Kuf Aleph from a base. On the next, we're going to go to the Shlosh and Malachim Ba'arba Adiyot. I had a few other things to mention over here, but we'll stop at this.